Good morning. My name is Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, an evidence-based radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, with a 23-year tradition of quality nutritional supplements and healthcare products at everyday low prices. So we can help you to help yourself live healthy, live wise, live strong to your fullest potential, one step at a time. And our topic today is depression, anxiety, and insomnia, and this is part two. Our last show was last November, and you can revisit that show on our website, thehealthyhabitchatham.com. And joining us today is Dr. Philip Roshodis. And good morning, Dr. Philip. How are you today?
Good morning, Dave. Doing well, and it's a pleasure to be back.
Great to have you back. Dr. Philip graduated in 2004 from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine and preceded by an undergraduate degree and a master's degree in nutritional sciences, and both from the University of Guelph, and is also a associate professor teaching clinical nutrition at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, and is a contributing author to various articles for the Integrated Healthcare Practitioners magazine. So you write a few articles. I noticed some of your topics on there.
Yeah, I had been the editor-in-chief of that journal through till the end of 2014. Okay. And I no longer am, but yeah, it was about 7 years we did it for, and it turned into a pretty valuable little tool. It was a good clinical guide, a lot of important articles on how to treat different things that may come through the door of a naturopathic doctor.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to visit that magazine, it's IHP magazine and .com, basically. Just Google that. And Dr. Philip, when you were with us last month, you discussed, again, the depression, anxiety, and insomnia, but took the prescription medication approach and how that can be enhanced by natural supplements.
Absolutely. We see a lot of people in that setting. Either they took the medication and it worked for them for years, but now it's not working, or they take the medication, but it certainly helps, but they still have a lot of symptoms. So there's a lot that we can do for people in that setting. Certainly things that we can add to what they're taking that are very safe to combine with whatever class of prescription medication in the mental health world they may be on. As a quick recap, I guess, because it's been a month since we've been here, the three very common classes are the antidepressants, the antipsychotics, and the benzodiazepines. And collectively, it's about 1 in 5 Canadian adults that take at least one of those three medications. So it's a really common phenomenon. If you're sitting somewhere and there's 20 people around you, chances are 4 or 5 of them are on some sort of mental health medication. And there are really simple things and safe things that can be done to improve where that person is at. But our focus today is for people that are suffering these concerns, depression or anxiety or insomnia, but they are not on any form of prescription for these problems. And as we've alluded to in the past, you and I, Dave, I generally find the situation of, hey, I've got pretty severe depression, I'm not on a medication, I find that a much easier situation to help in clinical practice than the situation of the medicated individual.
So before you get into the supplements, the question I asked you last month was depression, anxiety, and insomnia. Why aren't they treated separately? You want to group those together and treat them as a group. Why is that?
Right. So there's a big fancy word. It's called comorbidity. It basically means bad things that happen together. A common example that some people might be aware of a comorbidity is called the metabolic syndrome, which is the fact that diabetes, high cholesterol, and blood pressure very typically happen together. So in the world of mental health, this is the very common comorbidity, and it is depression plus anxiety plus insomnia. It's very rare to see any one of these on their own. Generally, there's always some of the other two present, despite what the individual may suggest as their principal concern.
That may be obvious to them that they're having one issue, but there's always the presence of the other two.
Right. We start talking to them. Okay, you're here because you're extremely anxious. You get heart palpitations, you turn red, you start to sweat. But now you start talking to them about their sleep. Oh, guess what? They're not sleeping that well either. You start talking about their mood, and they'll report, yeah, several days a week or several months a year, I have pretty low mood. So it's just very common that if one is there, some level of the other two are. And we like to treat them like one. So you're coming in and you're telling me your principal concern is quite severe depression. Pretty much always, we are also targeting trying to improve your sleep. If we can make you sleep better, your mood will improve, right? So it really is important, I think, to look at these as a triad and approaching them from a perspective of we're going to try to help all three is usually what proves most helpful to people who come to us with this problem.
So what's a natural way we can approach this problem?
Sure. Like step one, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it last month because we really got into detail about the medications and about the combining of natural medicines with the prescriptions, et cetera. A really important aspect to treating mental health, whether the person's medicated or not, is a little attention to diet and lifestyle. I mean, we all know that exercise will reduce blood pressure and reduce cholesterol and help diabetes. But I don't think many people realize that exercise is a really, really effective strategy for depression. Now, make no mistake, there's lots of people who are ultra-fit, elite athletes or exercising regularly who still suffer from depression. That definitely can occur. But make no mistake, you know, a really modest exercise program, and we talk about exercise, we're not trying to turn people into Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're trying to get people to do a 20-minute walk per day. Nothing more, just a nice brisk walk, 20 minutes a day. Leave your front door, walk for 10 minutes, turn around, walk back, and commit to it daily. It's tough to do. It's tough to get the motivation to really commit to it. But when we get people to do that, that alone has a remarkably profound impact on mood. Furthermore, is diet. And it applies to adults and kids, but we really see it with kids that are struggling. And, you know, most kids these days, breakfast is a bowl of sugar. And you're just setting yourself up for failure during the day. And it absolutely impacts energy and mood. And then there's issues at school and on and on. So, you know, a little bit of education about a balanced diet. You want to try to get some protein in the morning. You want to try to have protein with every meal. Healthy fats is a huge aspect of mental health. And I'm not talking about supplementing, which we'll get to shortly with fish oil or whatnot. But a lot of people adopt a really low-fat diet, 0% fat dairy products, and, oh, fat is bad for you. This myth has been completely bunked, and a diet must include at least 1, 2, even 3 tablespoons a day of healthy fat, whether it be olive oil or whether it be flax oil or whether it be coconut oil. Such an intricate part of health in general, and certainly a huge contributor to mental health. And lastly, on diet, and some people may be a little shocked to hear this part, but I can tell you this, when I see suicidal teenagers, the first question I ask them is, are you vegan or are you vegetarian? And they ask me, how did you know? And I say, because you're in my office wanting to kill yourself. It's, you know, can a vegetarian diet be done correctly? Absolutely. But there's this rash of, and it's usually younger people that are watching videos and movies of some pretty horrifying things that the commercial meat industry is doing. And I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. Frankly, I kind of more agree than disagree. And this leads these younger people to say, that's it, I'm a vegetarian now. But the problem is that 14, 15, 16-year-old young adult doesn't know how to do that appropriately. And they end up eating basically a zero-protein diet that's 90% carb with unhealthy fat. And 4, 5, 6 months after that, their mental health has been grossly compromised. Their brain is just not working right. So definitely there are diet and lifestyle considerations around mental health that truly are pretty straightforward. Get yourself moving a bit and make sure it's a balanced diet with a good amount of protein, a good amount of healthy fat. Carbs are not your enemy, nothing wrong with carbs, but you got to make sure the protein and healthy fat are there. So if your, you know, diet's now adequate, hopefully we got you walking a little bit every day, and now the unmedicated patient, we turn our attention to a handful of supplements that are really going to improve that person's situation.
And what are some of those supplements? I know on the last show you talked about fish oil. Do you want to start there?
Or that are really, really safe to combine with the prescription medications for mental health. Well, whether you're on a medication or not, those four really are step one. And what they simply are is a high EPA fish oil, vitamin B, a B complex, and this one surprised people, but melatonin. So even if you're on a medication, high EPA fish oil, D, B complex, and starting in the use of melatonin, and really remarkable things happen with that. So even for people that are unmedicated, that certainly remains what we do as step one.
Doctor, we're going to take a short break here. And after the break, we'll have you come back and continue your discussion on the EPA and your supplements.
Sounds great, Dave.